So I'm here with Dan Rome, the founder of Digital Rome. And Dan's doing a session here at MIX. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
But what's more exciting for me is he's coming out with this book called The Back of the Napkin. And it's all about visual thinking. It's all about how do you convey ideas using pictures, because it's such a powerful medium, and how do you sell your ideas? Am I completely screwing this up?
Or? Oh, no, not at all. That's exactly what it is. And in fact, if I might, just for a second,
yeah.
What I think is really interesting about this is the subtitle, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures, because automatically the book is really about three things.
Okay.
And all three of those are kind of summarized in that subtitle. Solving problems with pictures. So the three questions kind of are, well, which problems can we solve?
Okay.
Right? Then which pictures are we going to use? And then the third question is kind of subtext, who's going to do this? Which people? So which problems, which pictures, and which people? And I can tell you the answer to all of them right now. Which problems? All problems. Any problem. I don't care if it's a business problem. It can be an emotional problem. It can be a personal problem, believe it or not.
I'm telling you, I have a lot of emotional problems, so we should talk after
Well, I have the whiteboard, so we can go through them.
Awesome.
Can map
you
them
can draw out.
Yeah, and your significant other will be really interested to see what might appear on the whiteboard.
Exactly.
But literally, I have seen this to be true.
Yeah.
Any problem, especially in business, can be made a lot more clear, if not outright solved, through the use of a picture.
I'm a picture does speak a thousand words, and I'm so with you. So.
Well, and the other thing then is the question we ask is, well, what kind of pictures are we talking about? Because a lot of people, and we chatted about this just a moment ago,
yeah.
are really concerned about drawing, and people think that these pictures have to be really complicated. The pictures that I'm talking about are boneheaded simple. Some squares, some circles, a few arrows, and, you know, heaven forbid, once in a while you have to throw in a smiley face or a stick figure. But because really what we're trying to do is not capture what's out there in the world and trying to accurately represent it. What we're trying to capture is what's in here
yeah.
and accurately represent it. And the way we think is with these simple little shapes and forms.
So tell me something. Do you have to be an artist at all? Because what I'm getting is you don't have to be an artist
no.
at all. But can I pick up this book, read it, and then with a little practice, learn how to do this?
Absolutely,
myself.
Yes.
Is and that the purpose of the book? Is that one of the things that you really want to get across is empower people to be able to convey their ideas using simple pictures that are so much more powerful than, you know, a two-page document, for instance?
Oh, you nailed it, absolutely. And I fundamentally believe with my heart of hearts that everybody can do this. And you know what the proof is? I can actually prove this. Because if you think about when we were in kindergarten,
yeah.
before we knew how to read and write, everybody in kindergarten knows how to draw.
Absolutely.
And that is the way that we go about when we're 6 years old solving problems.
It's kind of weird how we start with the simplest concepts that are most powerful, and then we get older and everything turns into data and,
exactly.
and pivot tables and stuff.
Well, and think about this. So if you go into a kindergarten and you ask all the six-year-olds, you know, how many can draw? They'll all raise their hand. How
yeah.
many can dance? They'll all raise their hand. How many can read? Maybe two will raise their hand. But if just 10 years later, you come in to the same class when they're all 16 years old, they're in 10th grade, and you ask, how many can draw? Maybe two or three will raise their hand. How many can sing? One, maybe. How many can read? Everybody does.
That is so interesting. I never thought about that.
We know how to do this.
Yeah.
And the fact is, there's so much fascinating stuff we could talk about. I was able to study and work with some people who are vision scientists, neurologists,
okay.
because I really wanted to try to figure out why do certain types of pictures work to convey an idea, whereas other types of pictures sometimes seem to make it almost worse. And it turns out, as we learn more about vision, the science of vision, that our mind works in pretty concrete ways in terms of processing information visually, but what's really magnificent about it is that visual processing activates both hemispheres of our mind. You've heard about right brain versus
yep.
left brain thinking.
Yep.
Verbal thinking takes place entirely on the left side of the brain.
I had no clue.
Visual thinking actually takes place not only on both hemispheres of the neocortex, but in the, essentially in the reptile brain as well.
Yeah.
It pulls the whole thing together.
Actually, now that you mentioned that, I recently picked up Emotional Design again by Donald Norman.
Yep.
And I think he talks about that. He talks about how just the process of formulating an image and a thought in the form of an image actually requires your emotional side too.
It's absolutely true.
And,
yeah.
and it's kind of sad that these days we take emotion and we use that as a stick on people, right? We say you're emotional, but it's actually we couldn't think without that. We couldn't be effective without
and
that.
And add this to the mix. When you're in a meeting and you're trying to make a sale or you're trying to convince someone to join your company or whatever the idea that might be that you need to convey, if you do it with a picture, a couple of amazing things are going to happen. One is that if you draw the picture live in front of the person that you're trying to sell to, they're going to participate in your process at an almost emotional level, in a way that they would not if you just came in with a completed and finished deck and dropped it in front of them, because they'll see you working through the idea. And what we emotionally want to do is we want to help.
Yeah.
So when I start sketching something out, I know that I've convinced my audience, so that I've really essentially won. The moment they say, "Can I have the pen?" and they take the pen and then they start drawing on my picture, that's the moment you can sit back and say,
They're in.
We're going.
So exactly. I'm so going to pick up this book, or I'm going to try to convince you to give me a copy before it's out. But
if you come to By Talk tomorrow,
oh, I'm going to be right there.
Okay, I will guarantee.
I've been a big proponent of Mix UX, so I mean, I'm going to be at every Mix UX talk.
Perfect.
And I'm stoked about it.
Well, then let me tell you a little secret.
Yeah.
Although the book is not available yet, the book won't officially be available in bookstores until the 13th. So we still have 10 more days to go. I have 20 copies that I'm going to give away in my session tomorrow.
I have a lot of vodka and gin.
Okay, so bribes are totally acceptable, whatever it takes.
Awesome. Perfect. I'm glad we speak the same language.
Okay.
So you have a little whiteboard here, and I want to see this in action. It's just it's very fascinating. So if you want to put down your mic and exchange that with the whiteboard.
Well, let me show you just a couple of ideas. I mean, and the most famous business napkin of all time would be the founding of Southwest Airlines. There's a big story behind this. So Herb Kelleher and Rollin King, who were the two founders of Southwest Airlines, back in 1967, were sitting here in San Antonio, Texas, at the St. Anthony's Club. Rollin King said to Herb Kelleher, "I have an idea for an airline." If we imagine Texas and we think that we've got Dallas up here, and we've got Houston down here, and we've got San Antonio over here, what would happen if we made an airline that just connected those three cities? And the reason why this is interesting to a business person is because if you're a business person in Texas in 1967, you can't fly just on this route because of the way that the hub and spoke system was set up of airlines. If you wanted to fly Continental or Braniff or United, to get from Dallas to Houston to San Antonio, you actually had to go out through Denver, you had to go out through God only knows where. So he said, let's make our airline based on that. And that napkin sketch was the founding route map of Southwest Airlines, which has obviously become the most successful, profitable airline of all time.
Absolutely. Keep going. I want more.
Okay, well, let me give you another one then. I didn't draw that one. Let me draw you one that I've been working on. And in order to show this one, I actually have to turn the whiteboard vertically. I'm going to talk for a moment about coffee.
Okay.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Pete's Coffee and Starbucks Coffee.
Yeah, I'm from Seattle. I'm with you.
Okay, well, now get that. You might know the answer to this. So if we imagine that there are two big companies that are involved in retail coffee, pure coffee place, not McDonald's, not Dunkin' Donuts. We have over here Starbucks, and here we have Pete's. Do you have any idea how many stores Starbucks has?
Oh, gosh. What? I'm going to just take a shot in the dark. 2,500.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. 15,000. 15,000 stores worldwide. Now, Pete's is number two in the pure coffee play.
Okay.
Take a wild guess how many stores Pete's has.
2,500?
150.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, there is room in the coffee market for growth.
Yeah.
And so, what happens? There's a long story behind this. It turns out that the founders of Starbucks were actually trained at Pete's Coffee. They're all ex-Pete's Coffee people anyway. Pete's was founded in Berkeley in the late 1960s. And I've been working with the CEO now, the new guy, who says it's clear that the opportunity is there for Pete's to grow. But the thing that has always differentiated Pete's is, number one, we are about quality. We have the world's best coffee, hands down. Everyone acknowledges that. But as we grow, we want to make sure that we don't lose any of that connection to quality. So what we wanted to do was come up with a way to map out the entire business strategy of Pete's Coffee essentially on the back of a napkin. And it works like this. If you imagine that the vision of Pete's Coffee is to make the gold standard of quality of coffee, that's the top, that's the vision. Now, what's the mission? How do you do that? Well, what you want to do is you want to make everybody who buys a Pete's Coffee the happiest coffee drinker you can imagine, and they're all going to raise their cups and say, "We love Pete's Coffee." So the gold standard, building a bigger crowd of people who love good coffee. Now, how are you going to do that? So here's our vision. Here's our mission. And now the thing you got to think about is, you know, the kind of people who work at a coffee shop are not like the kind of people who might, for example, work at Microsoft. People don't typically give their career to be a barista.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea of conveying a strategic mission or something is a little bit difficult when you've essentially got people whose job it is to clean up the counters. So what they said is, we're going to break our operations into four pieces. And one of them is, we're going to be excellent in everything that we serve. So we have a little guy who's pulling a shot of coffee, and we're going to call this serve. And then we're going to have over here manage. And here we're going to show our happy manager. We'll make a manager a woman who's essentially orchestrating everybody beneath. Then we have develop. We have HR and training walking up the stairs, leading along the other people happily. All the other employees are learning how to do coffee excellently. And then last, we have inspire. The job of the big executives and the CEO, et cetera. So really, there's the entire business strategy of Pete's Coffee.
So I have to say, like, I stopped thinking because I was so drawn to the whole thing. I mean,
yeah, it works. It really, really, really does work. And in fact, this is how the CEO, Pat O'Day, when he's explaining to people, you know, where you're going to go as a company, we're going to adhere to quality, this is the way we're going to structure our business. And he's told me that I can share this with people because he's pretty proud of it himself. So it works.
So that's really incredible. So I wish we could talk much longer. I think we will off camera, but I really appreciate you joining us and being a part of Mix and sharing this stuff with us. This is fascinating, revolutionary stuff, and I'm just glad that there are people like you out there pushing visual thinking because it's such an important thing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
So thank you very much for joining us, Dan. Dan Rome again, and this is going to be out when?
10 days, March 13th.
10 days. Go buy the book. Seriously.
Thanks very much.